All right, so we are on the subject of the parables, and we're going to talk today about the widow and the unjust judge, the widow and the unjust judge, and it's going to talk about prayer and how important it is for us to pray and what that entails and how important it is for us to not give up, because sometimes in life, prayer can be a little bit hard sometimes. And I just want to ask, have you ever felt kind of discouraged when it comes to prayer? I think we all probably have and prayed for something, and especially, when we're praying for something and it really doesn't look like anything's happening. And that can be a little frustrating, and sometimes that could even make us feel like we just want to give up, not even pray anymore. But what I found is that prayer is making something tangible out of something intangible. And that takes faith. And that's what we need to really develop in our life. And I found in my life that desperate times calls for desperate prayer. And we just need to step into that. So we're going to look at that today, about the attitude that you and I need to have when it comes to prayer. The attitude that we need to have. It's found in Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. And it says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, she continually coming will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Father God, we honor you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the power of your presence just manifesting here in our midst today. We thank you for Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present one, Lord. Lord, just to be here, just moving mightily, just touching us, Lord. Lord, we thank you just for revelation knowledge just to take place here, Lord, that we want to glean some things from your word, to be able to help us to establish a stronger prayer life. Lord, and I yield to you a gift you've given me. I use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord, and the gifts of spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so prayer is one of those things, and what I want to clarify too is that prayer is not just a time that we just list our needs like a grocery list, but it's a time of connection and communication with our Heavenly Father. But sometimes we can get to the mindset that we have a list. And it's okay to have a list. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have a list so that you can be specific in what you're praying about. But when we come to God, it's not just about asking for things, even though he is a good God. But sometimes it's a time that we really get into a deeper and communication receiving the presence of God in our life and just how important it is. Sometimes you just need family, right? You know, maybe you got some things going on in your life. You just need that connection. You need to be connected. And so that's why it's important that we understand that aspect of coming to God and to be able to spend time with him. And what it does, it strengthens us in our inner man, our spiritual man. You know, we know we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, correct? How many times you feed your body a day? Counting snacks, they count, right? You got to count the snacks. You know how many times you do that? Then how many times do you maybe feed your intellectual part of your man? You know, whether it be maybe reading or maybe whatever things you do to glean information. Maybe you're a news hound. You just like getting into the news and, you know, you find out all what's going on around the world. Maybe that's part of it. Or sports. You just stay up on sports. Well, how much time do we feed our spirit? You know, our spirit's the most important part because that's what we connect to God with, and how important it is that we start to develop that kind of relationship there. So another thing about prayers, for those of you who have kids, sometimes prayer can feel like you're talking to your kids. Nobody's listening, right? Have you ever had that? Maybe your kids listen good. I don't know. Maybe you got special kids and they're all perfect and everything like that, so it's just a breeze. But for the most part, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, prayer is not always answered immediately. And when there's delay, it just seems like, what's going on here in my life? Why can't I just see this through? And so it's all good. We just got to hang in there. So in this parable, I just want to clarify that the judge does not represent God in any way, shape, or form. You know, that's not what this is about. Because sometimes when we go into parables, you think, well, they're talking about God. Well, this one for sure is not. Because this one here says the judge did not fear God nor respect man. Now, we know that's totally opposite of what God is like. So we need to clarify that. So, and to my opinion, this judge was the wrong person. That's attitude that he had. You know, we don't need judges like that. We got a few of those in our country, don't we? Judges that don't fear God nor respect man. They have their own agenda. We don't really need that kind of a judge. But that's what this woman was dealing with in her life. And sometimes things can be a little frustrating. So those two things, you know, that disqualified him. Now, in all fairness, he's probably a Roman, a heathen. He did not know God. And that's why he was in that sort of, way. What made him like he is. And a lot of times to get that position, sometimes they make deals and do all that and things to be able to get that. So, and it's probably a place where he probably extorted money also. Now, another thing about widows, we don't really think about it in our culture that much, but widows were probably pretty common in this culture. And there's a reason for that. Young girls who were teenagers usually married men who maybe were up in their 30s. And guess what? Who died first? The husband usually died first. And so maybe not quite 30 years old, but they were older for sure. And that's just the way that culture was. It's so totally different in our culture. But, you know, and that's why there were so many widows. And that's why when you read the Bible, you know, God talks about how we take care of widows and things like this. It's just important. You know, that's part of our mindset, you know, that we help those who can't really help themselves. And they were considered helpless because many of them didn't have anybody to plead their plight. You know, what was going on in their life. Some of them, you know, we read in the Old Testament, maybe they were in debt and the person they were in debt to would, you know, maybe throw them or their children in prison. I mean, how could you, you know, just a lot of different things, you know, in that culture, you know, about that and how that worked. And that's why God has a special spot in his heart about widows. And we need to, too. And so the widow, you know, she was in trouble. And what she did is she kept coming to the judge because there was somebody that was after her. Some opponent in life was continually harassing her, wanting her to do whatever it was. It probably very well could have been a financial situation, whatever the case may be. And this woman knew she went to the judge because she knew that the judge had the power to change her situation. And so we all know somebody else, right, that has power to change our situation? And that's God. So it shows us that we need to go to the right source. And that's when we pray, we go to God. Now, the judge, he'd had enough a little bit. She kind of wore him down. She was kind of pesky and getting after him. Now, the word to wear him out is to give a black eye. That's what that word means. So this woman wasn't taking no for an answer. How many, you know, a mom that will not take no for an answer when it comes to certain things? Especially when it's dealing maybe with their kids. You know, no's not even there. That's just the way it is. And she, I'm not saying she punched him in an eye, but I'm just saying she made it feel like that. Just kept getting in his face and harassing him and wanting her defense because she had nowhere else to go. That's how desperate she was. And maybe you've been that way before. I don't know. We've all probably been desperate in our life sometimes. And we'll do whatever it takes to get what we need to have. Sometimes you just got to do those sort of things. And so what I call this woman, she kind of had pit bull faith. You know, a pit bull just grabs on, just maybe won't let go. And I'll be honest, that's the kind of faith that you and I need to have when it comes to prayer. That's the attitude that we need to have when it comes to prayer. Because we need to just latch on and not let go no matter what. God is our only answer. And we just need to see it like that. Now, Jesus was talking here about the importance of being persistent, and to be persistent in our prayer life. And it talks about crying out day and night, you know, because they wanted an answer. And then Jesus actually framed this and finished this parable up that when he comes again, you know, will he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith is that? Well, it's kind of talking about having persistent faith. Faith that won't give up. So as we look at this passage a little bit, I think most of us would probably want to have a strong prayer life. If not, we ought to. And I'll be honest, in my walk with God, this is probably one area that I would like to develop more in my own personal life. And it's an ebb and flow, just like an ocean, right? Sometimes the tide goes out, right? Your prayer life, nothing there. Then sometimes the tide comes in. That's when your prayer life's good. But I kind of like to see it be consistent and steady. And I think that's what this is talking about, how important it is we need to have that. And to have that, you know, faith and prayer go hand in hand. And why faith is so important is because, you know, God's being invisible, you know what I'm saying? We can see him, you know, in nature and then through different things, working through other people's lives and in our life. But primarily we're praying to a God that we can't see, and we're wanting him to intervene on our behalf to do something for us, right? Because it's something that we cannot do on our own. And so we need something, we need a miracle, we need a turnaround, something in our life that's gonna make a difference. And so we go to God, and that's why it takes great faith. And you know, faith is so important. So that's why faith and prayer go hand in hand. We just need to have that faith. And you know, to me, you know, sometimes I feel like praying. And it's easy to pray when you feel like it, but it takes great faith to pray when you don't feel like it. You know, the old preachers or whatever talked about it. It seems like when the heavens are brass. I don't know if you ever heard that old saying, but those were old sayings that, you know, it felt like your prayers would go up and boom, just bounce back down. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what it feels like sometimes. And that's when we need greater faith, just to keep praying. You know, we see a picture of that in Daniel. Daniel was praying for something, and it took days to see the answer. And finally it came, and he found out the reason why it took so long, because there was a demonic spirit that was hindering the answer from coming, okay? So we live in a world where there's spiritual warfare going on. We sometimes may be oblivious to this war, correct? I mean, there's a lot of times we don't even think about it. Now, I'm not the kind of person that goes around and finds a demon under every rock. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying. But I do know that you and I are in a spiritual battle down here. We're here and we're enlisted in God's army, and we need to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes when things are going the way that we want to, we just have to keep pressing on and keep pressing in and keep fighting and keep praying until we see what we need to see. Amen? Sometimes we just got to do that. That's just part of the walk of faith. It's a journey that you and I are on. We're all on this same journey together. Some of us are at different stages in that journey, you know, when it comes to heading to where we're going. But nevertheless, we're all heading the same way. And it's important that we get to the point where we're not going to give up. Now, this is talking about having continual prayer and not continuous prayer, okay? There's a difference. Sometimes when we see that scripture, pray without ceasing, means that sometimes we get the mindset, hey, we just got to go pray all day. That's hard. Has you ever tried to pray all day? You know, tired tongue, dry mouth, right? You ever had that? Tired tongue and dry mouth trying to pray all day. I don't know if that's really what this is talking about. I think it's talking about just be in an attitude and a heart to want to pray, ready to pray. As things just kind of pop into your mind or in your heart, you just want to see things prayed for and to pray them through. And sometimes you just got to pray until you get peace about it. So three things that you and I need to have, what I see from this passage of prayer, is the fact that is persistent, consistent, and to be insistent. And we're going to look at these right now. Like, remember, faith and prayer go hand in hand. So when I say persistent, that means we need to have persistent faith and have persistent prayer. Persistent faith and persistent prayer. Now, the word persistent is talking about continuing firmly a course or action in spite of difficulty or opposition. You know, life can be hard sometimes. Not all the time, praise God. Amen? Sometimes it can feel like it all the time, especially if you're in the thick of it. You know, if something's going on in your life and things just are turning against you. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, we don't live on the mountain. We don't live in the valley. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we go, you know, through things. And that's just the way it is. Well, you know, the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's when I was a kid. You know, but a lot of people now, when the going gets tough, quit. You know, we can't do that. You know, we just got to keep going through and keep fighting. So, we all have the same enemy trying to hold us down and put us back, you know, the devil, like I mentioned earlier. The principalities and powers, rulers in high places, talks about them in Ephesians 6. I encourage you to read that chapter if you never have. And it talks about our spiritual armor, the things that we need, the importance of being able to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, be able to use that shield of faith, which to quench every lie. Because the most things that you and I struggle with, I'd say the biggest attack that we have is because those lying accusations from the devil get through because we don't have our shield up. The enemy is shooting arrows at your mind, and they're lies, they're accusations, they're things to get you discouraged. All these things are part of what happens. That's all he has in his arsenal is the lie. Bible says he's a liar from the beginning. That's just the way it is. He's a liar and a murderer. But he's been defeated. But nevertheless, we need to still use the shield of faith to quench those things. So you need to build up your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Be able to keep that shield out there. Don't let it go down on the ground, and being able to stop those arrows. We've all watched those shows where they, you know, in battles, and how important a shield is when they're shooting fiery arrows at you. You know, it said the Romans, they would always take, their shield was very, all their armor was very important. But one thing they really took care of, too, was the shield. You know, they'd dip it with oil and water, both things, and they'd keep that shield really pliable and things so it could be able to be strong. You didn't want your shield to crack and let them arrows through. Because not only would it affect you, but all the people around you. They had the thing where you remember the tortoise? You guys know what a tortoise is, right? A turtle-looking thing. Well, they called it the tortoise maneuver. Is when the enemy was shooting arrows at them, the front Romans would put their shields down, and then from the second row on back, they would hold their shields up, and they would cover their whole platoon. It'd be covered with shield. And no matter what the enemy shot at them, those arrows couldn't go through. And that's why you and I need each other. We need each other. You know, we need each other to hold our shields up. You know, to be able to defend each other and to help each other through the cares and the toils and sometimes the problems through life. Because life can be hard sometimes. So what we need to do is we need to keep on keeping on. You know, we need to press through for breakthrough. Breakthrough is coming. We're going to get that breakthrough. Don't let a breakdown stop you from your breakthrough. Amen. A lot of people, when you have a breakdown, you think that's it. How many's been broke down on the side of the road before? Did you just walk away and leave your car and forget it? I did know a guy that did that once. But he owed money on the car. And anyway, he turned it into stolen. That was long back. That was way back in the 80s. But anyway, that story didn't turn out well. But, you know, you just don't do that. You just wait for that breakthrough, because breakthrough's coming. And God is the God of breakthrough. We just need to have faith and hold on there. And it's important because whether we like it or not, resistance makes us stronger. You know, I like the story of the baby chicken. We've shared it before. And has anybody ever seen a little baby chick? You know, back when I was a kid, they don't do it so much anymore because it's, but I remember people would get a little baby chicken for Easter. You know what I mean? What are you going to do with that thing? I mean, life expectancy of it was pretty short, you know, especially if you lived in town. You know, it just wasn't the greatest gift, but that's how it rolled back then when I was a kid. But yeah, I lived in the country, so, but they also, you know, and then there's other things you got to watch for. But, you know, a baby chick, you know, when they're in that egg and they're about ready to come out, they it's kind of interesting how it works, but they get this little notch or little bump on their beak, and that little bump, it helps them to crack the shell. They just crack away. And what I read is the little baby will start cracking, and then when they get enough through, that's when they get their first bit of air. And they'll keep cracking, and they'll make kind of a circle around. They'll turn their little body, and they'll break out of that egg. It looks like a lot of work for that little thing. Have you ever seen a little baby chicken when they're being born? They're just, they're weak. Just weak. And we look at that, and we say, oh, I just need to help that little chickie out. You know, not a chick. I don't. A chickie. Chicken. Not a check, though. I mean, we help check. Yeah. Anyway, I could go down that road. We're not going down that road. But the idea of you just want to help it. And get out. If it just gets out of that egg, everything's going to be okay. But that's wrong. If you help it get out of that egg, out of that shell, it'll die. Because it's too weak to live in this world. It's not strong enough to live in this world now. Because it's the process of it breaking out of that shell makes it strong enough to live in this world. And sometimes the things that you and I go through, they're hard, yes, but it helps us to live in this world. And it's a process sometimes. Then that little chick, that little thing that grew there just to break out of the egg, it dissolves in a few days after it's out. It's not needed no more. But God, you know, created it that it had that just that little shell breaking thing just for that little short time. And then when it's out, then everything's fine. It's strong enough to be able to survive in this world. And we need to see that, you know, yes, maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe life has been hard. Maybe, you know, some of it's the devil, some of it we just make wrong choices, right? But nevertheless, the process that we're going through is that resistance will make us stronger. Just hang in there and keep fighting that good fight of faith, because great faith is refined by overwhelming difficulty. I don't joy in this all the time, but I try to count it all joy when I encounter them various trials. And just understand, too, that sometimes just because it's hard doesn't mean we're out of God's will. It just means that we're being under attack from the devil. You know, so don't doubt yourself all the time. And so how do you pray? You pray for results, and then we pray till we get results. Pray till you see them results. It's just a process. It's a systematic prayer. Just a part of our life. Prayer needs to be a lifestyle thing, right? Just like anything we do in the Christian faith. You know, reading the Bible needs to be a lifestyle thing. It's just part of the lifestyle. Prayer needs to be the lifestyle thing. Attending church needs to be a lifestyle thing. You know, all these different things, this is part of the culture that gets us in a system where we become stronger in the faith to be able to walk that walk that God's calling to do, and we need each other. Now, after persistent, next thing, we need to be consistent, okay? Consistent faith and consistent prayer. Now, the word consistent means unchanging in nature or acting over time. You know, how many of us has probably tried to start something and then we didn't last very long? Every January, how many set goals to lose weight? and you don't make it to February. You know what I mean? Just one of those deals, different things, or we're going to exercise. And you go out and try it for a while, and then you quit. You know, but we need to be consistent about it. You know, keep doing what we're doing, what we know to be true. Just hang in there, because it's going to work over time. You know, and that's how life works. And see, I've shared this before, that the difference between somebody who is an amateur and somebody as a professional is consistency. An amateur does it every now and then, but a professional does it all the time. You know, without misunderstanding the words, we need to be professional Christians, not an amateur. It needs to be a part of the way that we do things. We need to be consistent about it, doing the things that God wants us to do. It's easy to do. It's by God's grace. You know, starting out, it can be a little dicey. I know that. It's all new. To me, it was like learning a different language almost. You know, different lifestyle, all these different things. But, you know, once you get into the flow, it really goes pretty good. You know, there's some great people in the Bible that were consistent in prayer, had regular prayer. You know, one of them's Daniel. Remember Daniel? He prayed 3 times a day, no matter what. That's just the way it was. 3 times a day. And then the evil people of that time didn't like him because he was so blessed. They were jealous. So they coerced the king to make a law that for, I think it's 30 days or so, you couldn't pray to anybody but the king or whatever. Well, Daniel, he didn't stop. Why? Because he was consistent. He prayed 3 times a day to God. So, as his custom, he went and he prayed. Left the windows open. He wasn't going to hide nothing. This is how I roll. This is my life. They even, you know, we know the story. They got him thrown in the lion's den. But God protected him, and then they all got thrown in there and were put to death. So praying, even when it's illegal to pray. So need to do that. Next one was Daniel, Moses. He was an example of prayer. He prayed 40 days and 40 nights with fasting also when he was going to receive the Ten Commandments. Well, he went and received the Ten Commandments. We know what happened while he was gone. The people got all antsy and anxious about things, and what'd they do? They started sinning. They started to make their own god. They took gold, and his brother Aaron made up some story that a calf jumped out of the gold, the molten gold. Yeah, like that really happened. But what happened then? He had to go back up and fast 40 days again and pray to get, you know, the second tablets, because he broke the first when he got so mad. But it shows consistent prayer. And of course, our greatest example is Jesus. Jesus prayed. He spent many nights in prayer, especially when he had a big decision. Sometimes we just do little doodad prayers. You ever do doodad prayers? You know, pray about 10 seconds and you just wait. I mean, that's all good. Sometimes they work. But Jesus spent the night in prayer. He had a big decision. He prayed like that when he had to pick his followers, his apostles. Big decision. But he prayed. He spent time in prayer. So shows us that we need to. Then the last one is kind of, you know, challenging. It's called insistent faith in prayer. Insistent means demanding something, not allowing refusal. That's just like this woman was there, right? She just kept coming after the judge. She knew she deserved justice. And, you know, some of us may feel uncomfortable, maybe put a demand on God. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, God's all holy and stuff, and we're not. And then trying to demand God to do something in our life. You know, praying the prayer of faith. But see, and this isn't talking about making a bargain or a deal with God. You know what I mean by that? You know, we all try that, right? God, I'll do this if you do that, one of those deals, one of those prayers. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But what it's talking about is to put a demand on the covenant terms we have with God. And we've always talked about this a little bit in the fact that you and I don't understand the term of covenant because, you know, we live in a culture where we break our word all the time, right? we get out of contracts if you get a good lawyer, you know, all these different things. But, you know, in this culture, a covenant or the contract was life binding. If you gave your word, that's just the way it was. If you said it was going to be like this, that's the way it was. If not, you know, you could be put to death for not upholding your end of the bargain. And so when we know what God says in his word, it's okay to put a demand on God. Because if God said it, he's going to do it. And so it's like, it's putting a demand on those covenant terms with God. What the covenant terms were. And it, we call it another way of doing it is we're standing on the word. Everybody ever stand on the word? It's not taking your Bible and putting it under your feet and standing on the word. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about finding a scripture that deals with your situation, and then you stand on that promise. You know, we need to stand on the promise. We need to pray the promise. So we need to base our prayers on the unchangeable promises and truth we have in scripture. You know, God said he's going to watch over his word to perform it. That's just the way it is. We can trust God. So how do you do this? I'm going to give you an example today. You know, first, what we need to do is you kind of need to know God's word, or at least know how to Google real well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we live in an easy age. There's no excuse we can't find a scripture to stand on. You know, back when I was a kid, we had to read the Bible to find stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, you just had to really depend on that. But these days, it's everything's so easy for us, where there's no reason we cannot find, you know, a scripture that deals with our problem. You could probably, I don't want to say that one word because it might make my phone activate. You know, it's S-I-R-I. You know, I could say that. And she'd probably tell me a good scripture if she, you know, I trust, I'm more of a Google guy, but, you know, you never know. So you find that promise, a word that deals with your situation. Well, then what do? You pray that promise. You pray that scripture back to God. Then to make it a little more stronger in our life, we meditate on it. And we know what the word meditate means, chew the cud like an old cow. A cow will eat the hay or whatever, and then after a while, it sets in one stomach, and then a cow will lay down there, sit there, and she'll just burp it up. And then she'll start chewing that cud and just chew it and get all the nutrients out. Well, that's what we do is we meditate on the word. We hold that scripture in our mind. We keep going over and over so it gets deeper and deeper and deeper into our well-being, into our life. So they know really, and we absorb everything that it has for us. Then you refuse to let doubt creep in, because that's the next thing that'll happen. It's all good. It's all fine and dandy. In the name of Jesus, I believe that God is going to do this. God, I thank you for the prayer. Well, then about a week later, oh God, you know, I just don't know anymore. You know what I mean? Doubt tries to come in because there's always a delay sometimes. Not all prayer do we get an instantaneous answer where we see it with our own eyes. And we all know that. But you still got to hang in there. We got to be persistent like this widow. I'm going to give you an example of a way you can do this. Some people deal with anxiety, right? We know what anxiety is. Sometimes that comes into our life. So what do you do about anxiety? Well, you know, I believe it's kind of an attack from the devil in a large way, trying to speak to our mind and to get us off base a little bit. And it can be some other things too, but... what you do? Well, you find a scripture. Well, an easy scripture, because this is a short one, why I picked this one. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So how do you do this? Say, Lord Jesus, right now I just pray, I cast all my anxiety over to you because I know that you care for me so much. I worry about nothing. Everything is in your care. I place my life in your hands. I just trust you, Lord. Period. Then you take that scripture and you meditate on it. You read it over and over in your mind. You start to recite it back. Just keep putting it in. Yeah, it's going to take a little work, people. It's going to be a homework. It's going to be something that we got to do, but it's worth it if you want to be free. I mean, what's the price of freedom? First, it was the price of Jesus Christ, but then also there's certain things, you know, we have to be the enforcer in our life where we enforce certain principles in our life to keep the devil at bay, okay? So you pray it, you meditate on it, then you don't let doubt creep in. So what you do is that then when you pray and you believe you received it, and then, you know, when doubt comes in, what do? Do you have a breakdown or do you break through? Well, breakdown will quit right there. Well, it just ain't working for me. But if you're a breakthrough person, when doubt starts to come in, you read the scripture again. You pray the scripture again. You build up your faith. Faith comes, and you read it out loud. It's okay to pray inside yourself. That's fine too, but sometimes you got to speak out loud, speaking those words of life. And I would pray this out loud if I was you. Unless you're in public, you know, people think you're crazy or something. But you know, I would definitely get to a place where you can pray this out loud and keep that doubt at bay. And I'll guarantee you this. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Anxiety will bow its knee. It will bow its knee. Because it has no authority over you anymore. But you have to enforce it and to keep it out of your life. Don't let prayer become our last resort, but let it be our first course of action. I've said this myself. I suppose I could just pray. You know, what am I thinking? I should have prayed in the first place. See, delay in prayer is not because we're trying to change God's mind. It's because we are the ones being changed through the process of trusting and waiting on God. Unanswered prayer helps us to grow as we go through the process of still hanging in there and holding on to God. So delay does not mean denial. You know, sometimes there is a no. You know, if we're praying for something that's not good for us, I believe that maybe God has the infinite wisdom that, yeah, maybe that ain't going to happen. But delay does not always mean denial. And don't let delay in your life in answered prayer destroy you. Let it refine you. Let it make you stronger. So, in closing, when Jesus returns, this kind of faith he's looking for, people have a strong faith and prayer life. That's what we need to have in our life. And I'll be honest, it's probably one of the most hard things that we do. It's not fancy, you know what I mean? In the sense, it's something that, you know, we do corporate prayer. Praise God for corporate prayer. And we need that. We need to pray together. But prayer is just something you do on your own primarily. Whenever you find your best time to do it. Daniel did it 3 times a day. Jesus, you know, prayed a lot at night. You know, you need to find your sweet spot. I like praying in the morning. It's my best time. You know, that's what I start my day off with. I read the Word when I wake up, and I pray. And I try to get my day started. Now, you know, if you're a night person, you stay up late, maybe mornings isn't your wheelhouse. But, you know, think about it. If you went to bed 20 minutes earlier, so you get wake up 20 minutes earlier to have a little bit of God time, how much better would that be for your day, you think, over a course of, you know, 6 months or a year? I don't know. I'd say that'd be a good challenge. You know, I know people, you know, working with the kids sometimes, some of them tell me they stay up till 3 a.m. all the time. I go, man, you got to get up for school. How's that work out? You know, if they were just pulling my leg or what, but yeah. And maybe you're a night person, you know, maybe praying at night works for you. You know, so find your spot and be consistent, be persistent, and be insistent. Amen. Let's pray.